Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10.
She's an MBA carrying
eight.
Wife and mother.
She's an MBA carrying
day,
wife,
author, speaker, and encourager by night. Having lived all over the U.S. and experienced many facets of life, she's constantly learning to embrace change by studying others' successes. She's your change hacker and radio host, Melissa Ruth, coming to you from Houston, Texas, on the Coach on Fire Network. Here's Melissa Ruth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Change Hackers, where we are mastering change in all areas of life. I am Melissa Ruth, your host for this show. Thank you for tuning in. If you're catching us live, if you're catching us on the replay, if you're live, you can always call in to ask questions. The number is 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear your questions. But one of the things you'll know if you've listened to any of my previous shows, you'll know that I'm passionate about learning the keys to embracing change and making the best of the challenges life presents us. When I started this show, my goal was to interview people who had to deal with change and learn to rise above it. This next guest did just that and more, and I'm really, really excited to introduce her. But first, I need to give you a little bit of history. So last week, I had a somewhat traumatic day and related to some unwanted change in my younger child's life. After helping her deal with her trauma, I set out to determine some survival strategies from others who have dealt with this in the past. So that's what led me to our guest today. And I'm really excited because talking about real life strategies that actually work in the face of these real life challenging changes is what this show is really all about. So who is my guest? My guest today has been featured on 2020, Inside Edition, and Anderson Cooper. But that's not all. Now listen to this. She's an author, a writer, former homeschool mom of unique twins, special needs parent, marine mom, speaker, empowerment enthusiast, and creative communications and marketing consultant. And if you don't know by now, her name is Chrissy Bernal. Welcome, Chrissy, to the show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with me today.
Of course. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great. So, Chrissy, let's talk a little bit about who is Chrissy Bernal. Can you share a little bit about who you were before you became a mother?
Sure. Well, it started when I was four. No, I'm just kidding. We won't go back that far. No, I had a typical upbringing. I was in competitive sports from the age of 7. I played volleyball, track, basketball. I did, you know, all the quote-unquote normal things that you think of from typical childhoods. I always loved to write, and so I think that's where the natural writing came in, and it just organically ended up being one of my careers. I was active in church. We were there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. Went to church camp every summer, you know, all that. Let's see. I even was one of the leaders in a special needs program that we had in church when I was in high school. We had a special service and special department for special needs children. Well, I guess they were teenagers mostly, and they would come in every Sunday, and we would lead special services for them and have activities and whatnot. And looking back, I found that God was preparing me when he had me be involved in the special needs program in high school. And I went on to graduate high school early. I wanted to be a TV news anchor. So I got a Houston Press scholarship and went on to the University of Mary Hardin Baylor. And I played volleyball there my freshman year and ended up being part of the newspaper there, which for the younger people listening, that's this giant piece of paper that people used to read every morning instead of Facebook for the news.
Exactly. It was our connection to the outside world.
Right. And let's see. I was involved in the drama department there as well, and choir. I was on the traveling choir team, I guess you could say, or choral there. So I really enjoyed my college years there. There were a lot of activities that everyone did at UMHB, and it was a smaller campus And so it was nice because I was really able to get connected and get connected with Christian students, be part of the Christian student ministries and that sort of thing. So it was really a nice experience for me.
So let me guess, I mean, if you're anything like me, when you were in high school and college, you had these big grandiose dreams about what your life was going to be like after college, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I thought I was going to go on to be a reporter and to be a TV news anchor and, you know, have the fancy coats and the cool hair like Dominique Soxa does here for those of us in the Houston area.
Exactly.
So I thought that's what I was going to do.
Yeah. And so then life took a turn, right? As it does for most of us. So I was reading some of your story on your website. And for those who don't know, that's ChristyBernal.com. And so at one point you found out you were pregnant with twins, right?
Yes. And that was definitely a shocker. I'll never forget going in that day for the ultrasound. And this part isn't on my website, but I didn't realize that I was having twins until after my 6th month. I think it was about 6.5 months. They did this super long.
You were already in the liver.
Yes. You know, I was big and couldn't fit in my clothes, which, you know, they had checked earlier for twins because at 2 months I couldn't button my pants. And it was, you know, like, okay, this is my first pregnancy. I'm young. Why am I already showing? And so they checked for twins at that time, and they didn't hear but one heartbeat. They only found one baby. And, but, you know, the equipment then wasn't quite as advanced as it is now. But
right.
Needless to say, I didn't find out until after the 6.5 month mark, and they had that big, long, hour and a half long ultrasound, and they said, you know, you need to go see your doctor. And of course, that was one of the longest elevator rides ever.
Right.
Going down to see the doctor. So I walked into the doctor's office, and she said, well, did they tell you? And we were like, what? No, what? And she said, well, you're having twins. And she gave me about 30 seconds to absorb that information before she went on to tell me that they found issues with, quote-unquote, baby B, which is what they always call multiples. They always call them baby A, B, C, whatever. So she said that was what we needed to go ahead and focus on. So I didn't even have a chance to absorb that I was having twins. I had to scoot right past that and move on to the issues that baby B was having.
Right. And I imagine you were, at this point, were you working or going to school, or obviously married?
I was going to school. Yes, I was going to school. I was newly married. I was 20 years old and not thinking that was what I was going to have to deal with at that age.
Sure. I remember talking to a friend who was having twins, and she kept telling me, I'm having twins, but I'm going to work. I'm going to work all the way up until I have the baby, and I'm going to come back. I'll be out for 30 days, I promise. Like, no, let's be real. That's such a change.
Yes, you know, it's been funny for me to watch I'm on Facebook on these Moms of Multiples groups and whatnot, and, you know, when I had the girls, Facebook was around, but really it was in its infancy and nobody really used it. We really used MySpace back then, if anything.
Right.
And which, again, for those younger people, MySpace is sort of like Facebook back in the day. but there was no really a group that I could go to. I couldn't Google stuff quite like they can now. So, you know,
right.
We just kind of had to fumble our way through it. And so that was definitely a challenge at the beginning, but I chuckle when I see these moms on the Facebook group sometimes saying, you know, oh yes, it's not going to be that bad, or, you know, oh yes. I'm like, oh, just wait. Yeah, that schedule you think you're going to have so easily put together, it's not going to happen.
Yes, those high achieving expectations for sure. So obviously, so you had a you had 3 months to absorb this whole, I'm having twins, and oh, by the way, I don't know what I'm dealing with the second baby B, right?
Right.
What
Except
were some
it wasn't 3 months.
Go ahead.
It wasn't 3 months. They ended up, the girls weren't due until February 1st, and they ended up coming just before Christmas.
Oh,
so I really only had, just a few weeks to absorb everything. And, you know, they did tell me, the doctors told me that had they found baby B, who is Sienna, they told me that if they had found her earlier, they would have suggested that I selectively reduce her, which is just a fancy way of saying abort her. And I was like, wow, I'm super glad you didn't find her earlier then.
Exactly. It wouldn't have happened anyway. Thank you very much. Let's move on.
Yep. And when she was born, they said that she would have, if she survived the first 24 hours, they gave her less than 10% chance of surviving. But they said if she did survive, that she would be a vegetable.
Wow. So that changes a lot in your mindset of what you have to experience or what are you waiting for?
Yes,
right?
Again, exactly. And again, I was 20 years old, so that's not really something your brain is ready to handle.
Definitely. What does this look like for me? So what were some of the things, obviously, I mean, she, well, not obviously, nobody really knows, but she made it, right? But
right.
What were some of the things going through that period of time that just kept you going?
Well, you know, there was so much going on that we really just had to be solution focused. And that's something that I think I've just always been, is real solution focused. And, you know, I was brought up with a strong faith. So my faith really kept me pretty even keeled during that whole time. And I remember one of my friends, we were sitting in computer lab, and Sienna, she ended up being in the NICU for 108 days. So, which ended up being a blessing because I really did go right back to school after they were born. I did not skip a semester. And so Sienna was, I did not skip a semester. I went right back to school. But Sienna was in the NICU, and Sierra was able to come to some of my classes with me because my professors were that amazing. But I remember sitting in my computer lab with a friend, and she looked at me and she said, "How are you not freaking out all the time?" And I said, "God just told me everything's going to be okay. So I'm just kind of going with it."
So you had to kind of be flexible and yet at the same time stand on your faith to kind of make it through.
Exactly.
So, was there a time where you were beginning to question whether or not you were up to the task?
You know, not then, because I knew that God had prepared me, like I mentioned earlier, with the special needs group that I worked with in high school. I knew that God had prepared me, and this is going to completely blow your mind, but Sienna, she has a really rare form of dwarfism called primordial dwarfism, and God had been preparing me to handle that way before I could have ever imagined. Turns out I ended up going to school with a young man since elementary who had that very same kind of dwarfism.
Wow.
And I didn't even realize it until after Sienna was diagnosed. And I remember being friends with him and just seeing how people treated him. And I think that he was one of the reasons why I felt so passionately about helping special needs people, is I didn't like the way he was treated.
And you got to see from a firsthand perspective what he was dealing with, the struggles he was having, and the things he had to deal with, right? So that changes everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
So God prepared me way before.
And you had no clue. None of us do, right?
Yep. You know, so that's one of my things, is I always tell people to be very, very aware of the little bitty pieces of their journey, because there will be times when you look back and you'll see something that you might not have noticed being an integral part in your journey, and you're going to look and go, "Oh, I see what you were doing there, God. Gotcha. Okay, I didn't realize it at the time, but now I totally see what that was there for."
Yes, and it's so true. A chance meeting with somebody or a friend from elementary school, or even just a simple experience you've had, and you realize, you know, 5 years later, wow, yeah, that is exactly what I needed for this moment. So true.
Yep, exactly.
So you were saying,
you just have to be very purposeful.
Exactly. And you were saying your daughter, when she was born, you didn't know necessarily what you were dealing with. How long did it take, and how many, if you were to guess, how many doctors did you have to see before you were actually able to figure out what you were dealing with?
Well, we ended up seeing literally every kind of specialist you could think of, and it took many years. They knew right away that she had one of her issues, which one of her diagnoses is Dandy Walker. They knew right away, they could tell that in utero because it's where she's missing part of her brain. So they were able to see that on the ultrasound. And she's also missing her corpus callosum, or most of it, which is the thing that separates the two hemispheres of your brain. And so they were able to see those in utero. So I knew what I was dealing with there. And of course, the first thing I did was Google, which that's stupid, but you know, and again, back then it was a rather antiquated version of Google. I don't even know if it was Google that I used back then, but I'm using Google as a verb now. But but they knew then that she had that. They knew that she had underdeveloped lungs. And to this day, she has chronic lung disease, so we've always had to be cognizant of issues with that. She had, she had issues with her eyesight, of course. And at the time, we didn't realize it, but she is hearing impaired. And it took us years to discover that because she got so used to interacting with us based off of actions and things like that that she could feel and see. And so we didn't realize that she was hearing impaired until she was about five.
Wow.
And she had a feeding tube until she was seven that was in her stomach, so we would deal with that. So, you know, we went to those kind of doctors. But they kept blaming everything else, all of her other diagnoses, they kept blaming those for the reason why she was so small. And she had heart surgery when she was 7 months, I believe.
Wow.
And so they thought, oh, okay, well, after the heart surgery, then she'll gain weight, or after this, then she'll gain weight. And she ended up with pneumonia, I believe, four times, RSV, all sorts of other things. So they kept blaming all these other medical issues on the reason why she was small. And so, you know, we continually didn't have answers, and they would just label her as failure to thrive, which is just kind of a generic term that gets thrown around when they don't really know why.
Yeah.
And so finally, after having an endocrinologist follow her for a year and watch her levels, they said, well, have you thought about going to a geneticist? And I thought, well, what's a geneticist going to do? You know, I don't need a geneticist. And I didn't really understood. Yeah. I didn't understand what a geneticist did at the time. Because remember, again, I was pretty young. But so we ended up going to Texas Children's to their geneticist there. And it just so happened that a visiting doctor from Belgium was at the office today following, making rounds, just kind of seeing how Texas Children's did what they did. And he came in, and within a few seconds, he said, oh, I know what she has. I've seen one other kid like her. And he said, run this test and this test and this test. And
wow.
I bet she has primordial dwarfism. And we were like, wait, what?
That's totally a God thing. I mean, you couldn't, there's no way that you could orchestrate that doctor being in that place at that moment. It's totally, I love how God works.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was so incredible because, he was, many people will say, well, weren't you, sad when she got that diagnosis? And this is one thing that I say all the time. I actually wrote a blog post titled, I Was Glad When the Doctors Told Me My Daughter Had Dwarfism. And and the reason why we were glad was because we had an answer. You know, again, I'm very solution focused. I've always been that way, I think. And so for me, I was like, great. Now we can start focusing on the solution, the plan going forward, you know, what we need to look out for, that sort of thing. So for us, we were ecstatic that we had some sort of answer.
I totally understand. My oldest daughter was sick for 6 months, and we went to multiple doctors. Nobody could figure out what was going on. Everyone had their own hypothesis, right? But it was all a guess. And right. I remember just thinking, I just want to know what we're dealing with. I don't care what it is. We'll deal with that after.
Yes, exactly. It's like once you know what you're dealing with, then you can move forward and it's go time. And,
right.
you know, I'll tell you the super cool thing was, and I'll never forget this. I was sitting in my office and I would imagine Googling because we had recently gotten this diagnosis. And I believe if it wasn't on the exact same day, it was the same week. So it was really interesting. But I remember hearing the TV on in the other room and I heard this voice and I was like, from the TV, not, you know, one of those ethereal
right.
voices, but I heard a voice come from the TV and I was like, man, that voice sounds familiar. And I ran in there and it sounded like the voice from the young man that I grew up with who had primordial dwarfism. And so
uh-huh.
I ran in there and it was not his voice. It was actually his sister's voice who had the same form of dwarfism. And I just could not believe it. And that's when it all came flooding back that that's what the type of dwarfism he had. And so I immediately tried to look up the parents' names so I could try and get connected with them. And I was able to get connected with him. Sadly, he had actually passed when he was 25, but his sister was still alive. So I was able to get connected with her. And it has just been, a godsend to be able to connect with them and ask them questions and, you know, what doctor should I see and that sort of thing.
Yeah, old school
so
networking,
it's,
right?
It's pretty cool.
At its best.
right. And now we have a pretty tight-knit community of us. There are fewer than 200 people with this form of dwarfism in the entire world that they know of. And
wow.
there are probably 60 of us in our group, including the parents, who you know, kind of frequently and connect via Facebook and the yearly gatherings that we do.
That is awesome. I imagine that helps a lot in not feeling so alone and not knowing, you know, how do we move forward with this because someone else there has dealt with that, right?
Absolutely. That was probably the biggest thing that really helped keep everything balanced and it kept me from going crazy trying to figure out what to do.
Right. So, and amongst all of this, so you're dealing with, you know, how do I deal with my daughter who has issues and needs, and how do I deal with my other daughter? And now I've got to deal with both of their needs. And then you also have, I'm sure, other family needs. I know you were dealing with other things at the same time, right?
Yes, I ended up going through a really nasty divorce and ended up just having to pack up with what I could fit in my car and the girls and just move on down the road. I had no idea what I was going to do. But,
so
you need to balance that.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, and, you know, still I was solution focused and I just focused on my plan to move forward and did not focus on what the problem was. I just focused on how I was going to move forward.
So solution focused. So let's just put that into perspective. I have a friend who had a preemie, a fairly early preemie, and he is now, I think he's a year old now, in and out of the hospital dealing with a trach and all kinds of issues that deals with, as well. So what would you share for the moms who are doing that right now? They're just trying to figure out, how do I finish school? How do I deal with family life? And how do I deal with all of these challenges at the same time?
Well, first off, like I mentioned, was focus on the solutions, focus on your plan. And the thing that I have to tell moms, too, is be forgiving of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Know that, sometimes you're gonna forget something. Sometimes that party isn't gonna look like the one on Pinterest. You don't have to be the perfect mom. And people have coined me years ago the have it all mom because I was working, doing school, still having my own career, doing quote unquote normal things while juggling all this. And when I say have it all, that's my definition of having it all is going to be different than your version of having it all and that sort of thing. So just remember that as long as you have everything that you need and want, don't picture or don't put somebody else's picture on you. And, you know, if you can't get that perfect picture done for, you know, like I said, with the Pinterest, it's okay. To give you an example, our life has been pretty chaotic in the last year, and my girls just graduated from high school, and
yay.
I was not able to put together, I know, yay, but I was not able to put together this amazing graduation party like I had always wanted to. And, you know, I just had to go, it is what it is. We are focusing on celebrating, having a good time with them and not all the external stuff like, you know, super fancy decorations and whatnot. We just focused on enjoying company with
right.
friends and family and enjoying time and laughing and, of course, good food. But, you know, we focused on those sorts of things and not the extras that would be, you know, the sparkles.
Right. And so really it's about paying attention to what your family needs or what, you know, the core of the needs, not necessarily the wants, right?
And focusing on
exactly.
And, you know, to forgive yourself and to make sure you're taking care of yourself. I see a lot of moms that don't give themselves time by themselves. And, you know, if I used to wake up early before everybody else would wake up, and that way I could have my cup of coffee without anybody else talking to me and not having to
right.
get anybody else anything. And I would just sit there and have my quiet time by myself.
See, and for me, I was grabbing every single second of sleep I could before they were coming for that reason.
Exactly.
As well.
See, whatever you need to do to take care of yourself.
Exactly. You're so right. And I was thinking about that the other day. I think the issue or the trauma that I was dealing with was the whole, am I being the best mom I can be for this child who's struggling? And I think sometimes we look at the struggle as if it's the problem, the fact that they're struggling, right? The fact that
right.
they're having
right.
having issues. And I don't know, I shared this on Facebook earlier this week, but it impressed me, reminded me of the truth that, you know, when you have a butterfly that's developing in the chrysalis, and if you try to help it out because it looks like it's having issues, you actually stunt its growth, basically. Its wings don't get enough strength so that it can fly. So
absolutely.
You're helping
yeah,
because you think you need to, but reality is they need to struggle. And we as moms don't necessarily need to take that as a sign of failure, right?
Exactly. And, you know, even with a special needs kid, like with, you know, with Sienna, when she was younger, she would have problems doing things like putting her buttons, you know, properly on and that sort of thing. And we would just let her fumble through it and figure it out on her own rather than just doing it for her.
Right. And that's exactly the same reason, because at some point she's going to need to, right?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, we make her reach stuff on her own. She figures out how to get her stuff. There are some things that she genuinely can't do, like the washing machine. She literally falls in, so she literally can't do the washing machine.
That's so funny. I just got a new washer, and I thought that I could reach the bottom. I can't. So I actually have tongs for that reason.
See, exactly. It's, you know, there are just some things that, you know, it is. Some things, remember, it is what it is.
Exactly. So we're just 30 minutes in, so I'm just going to, if you're just tuning in, we are change hackers, mastering change in all areas of life. We're on Coach on Fire Radio, and I am Melissa Ruth, your host, with Chrissy Bernal. And you've just heard a bunch of Chrissy and some challenges and changes she's had to deal with in life. But I thought I would remind, so I wanted to have Chrissy on the show just due to the experience I had a few weeks ago. And really, guys, my experience was nothing compared to what many other moms have experienced. It was a small window. I had 4 hours of exhaustion. And most of the time, I consider myself blessed to have 3 awesome children. But each of them brought some pretty hefty change into my life, both wanted and not wanted, as I'm sure most moms can understand, and even most parents, right? I think even when we get married, we're like, wait, what? I didn't sign up for this, right? But last week I was exhausted. You know, I spent 4 hours at the doctor with my daughter, and I came home and my body was just saying, you know, I would just like to go hide in the bedroom for a couple of hours. And I still had to work, and I still had to function, and I still had to make dinner, and I just really still had to do those things. And so I reached out to our lovely Facebook group and said, look, someone tell me, give me some strategies so I don't have to deal with that before. So that's why we started this show today. That's why Chrissy is here. And I'm sure, Chrissy, you've had a few days like that as well.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone does. And that's where, you know, you have to allow yourself some grace. You give yourself grace, give yourself forgiveness, and just realize that, okay, you know what? I had my little pity party for an hour, and I'm going to put my big girl panties on and move on.
Exactly. So we're going to focus here in the next segment. We're going to talk about how you made it through and a lot of those strategies that you've used. And then we're going to, hopefully we'll get some call-in guests. So if you haven't yet, you can always call in. The number is 646-716-7979. And by the way, Chrissy has offered, I think, a free book to the first caller, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk just a minute about what is your book, so they call it.
Well, you know, that's one of the ways that I found an outlet to deal with the situation is, you know, like I've mentioned earlier, I'm solution focused. But one of the other things that I have found that allows me to, I guess, remove some of the focus on the problem being a problem for me is we have found that if we use whatever situation we're in to flip that around and use it to inspire change that will affect someone else positively, then that has allowed us to sort of remove ourselves from that and from being the focus and then puts it on focusing on others. And that keeps you from kind of wallowing in it. And so the book was, I have an entire series in mind. This is just the first one, but it is called Sienna's Locket, and it's called the Cine Size series. And the reason why it's called Cine Size is Sienna, her nickname is Cine. Most people will call her Cine or Senna, something like that. And so since she's so little, a long time ago, people started saying when they would see something little, they'd go, oh, it's Cine-sized.
Uh-huh.
So
now so sweet.
That's where we call the Cine-sized series. And it's based around her adventures and fun things that she would do as being somebody who's so little. And the first one is an adventure that's based off of something she would really do. And then there's, of course, some whimsical stuff that's thrown in that's fiction. But she used to hide in the cabinets when she was younger because she could fit in them. And I'm talking about skinny cabinets, not regular cabinets. So she would go hide in them. And so that's what the first one's based off of. But I wrote the series to help kids focus on what they could positively do with their quote-unquote problem or diagnoses or issue and allow them to just flip that thinking. And instead of looking at it as a weakness, but look at it as a strength. So Sienna's size is what allows her to, quote unquote, save the day in the book. So the book really helps kids focus on changing their mindset into thinking that what their uniqueness is, it's not a negative. It's more of a positive. They just have to use it correctly.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And that has to start early, right? I mean, it's not about, oh, you're so unique, oh, you're so odd. It's about, no, you're special, and your uniqueness is a gift.
Exactly. And, you know, I believe that each of us was given something that we are to use to take and change the world for others. And so I think that we have to really examine what it is that makes us unique and use that ability to change somebody else's world. Because, again, it's not about us. We were put on the planet not to make ourselves happy, but really to make each other happy and to support each other and to really build a good community.
So true. And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about all the times I've tried to get my kids to look at the positive of the situation. Did you have to teach Sienna or Sierra how to do that, or did you think it just came naturally for them?
They learned it by example. It was not something that we had to teach. It was something we had to show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm not saying that we don't have to reiterate that verbally sometimes. You know, Sienna is very well aware of how different she is. And, you know, yes, of course, she's going to have those days where she's going to be frustrated because her journey is so different and she knows what she's missing out on. And, you know, so of course she's going to have those days where she gets down and frustrated. And so we just have to talk through those and then move on. You know, she's very much got such a resilient spirit where, you know, she can have that moment of down and then go, okay, I've talked through it. I've cried through it. Now I can move on. And that's how she's able to maintain a good attitude for most of the time.
Until the hormones hit of teenage years, I'm sure.
Yes, you know, that was interesting. But you know what? We have taught her to be able to recognize. She's very self-aware, and that was something that we did teach her to be, is just to recognize when those hormones were kicking in. You know, when if she was tired and acting out, we will remind her, hey, I think you're tired right now, and you're allowing that to change your actions right now. And she's very self-aware, and that's something that I'm very proud of her for being.
That's awesome. It's so important, too, because you're right. Even adults have a tendency to let their hormones or their emotions of the moment or their exhaustion take them and run in another direction. So I think that's
exactly
why you said it's so important for the moms to make sure that they have at least a few seconds for themselves, and they do, you know, they don't neglect themselves, because we will run with our emotions when we're exhausted.
Oh, absolutely. When you're sleep deprived and hungry and all that, oh yeah, that it can get a little gnarly.
Yeah. So, I mean, even I've learned this in the last couple of weeks, that before the shows, I have to make sure that I eat. And I plan my morning, because I'll be really cranky and it's time for the show and everything needs to happen at once, and I won't have what I need to do it right. And so, I mean, I think that's important.
Absolutely.
For sure. It's always at the just before all the craziness that everything kind of blows up. And so if you're not prepared and you're not focusing on the good, then you're going to have issues for sure. So what
exactly
do you think,
and, you know,
go ahead. I was going to say, what do you think is the hardest thing you've had to deal with as a special needs mom?
I would say that the hardest thing is other people. Mm. You know, people have been, they were very, very opinionated and mean, and they would try and put their suggestions, their thoughts, whatever, on us. You know, when the girls were babies, I'll never forget, I was in a hotel and I had both the girls with me, and this woman accused me of not feeding Sienna and starving her. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking, are you serious? I've got twins right here. You have no idea what my journey is. You have no idea how much I've fought for this kid. And it, you know, people are just ridiculous sometimes with the things that they will say. And so you just have to learn to ignore what they say and stay fast in your faith and in, you know, as long as you know that you're doing the best thing for your kid, that's really all that you need to focus on.
Trust in yourself, even when you're young.
Exactly.
Even when you're not ready for,
exactly,
for the challenges and the changes that have come, for sure. It's so true. Let me see. So I have a couple of friends who told me when they were dealing with their frustrations because they were exhausted and they didn't have anyone. They were single moms. They were dealing with working two jobs and trying to deal with their children who were having serious issues. And then, you know, just all the different things where the world comes at us because we're doing what we can. And they all think they can do it better. So the question is, what would you say to moms who feel underwater when dealing with all of that unexpected change?
Well, first off, I would say get connected, because like I mentioned earlier, having the group on Facebook that where even today I could still see what the other parents of children who have primordial dwarfism are dealing with, and same with the dandy walker and hearing impaired and whatnot, that has really allowed me the knowledge that, you know, when you've got situations that are unusual and different, or at least unusual and different to you, you don't know what you don't know. And so getting connected really helps, because then you feel like you are armed for the battle, per se, and can take some of the overwhelmingness away from it. I don't even know if that's the word, but
yeah,
it can take
I think you're right.
Some of that away.
It takes at least the pain of it, I think, some of the pain out of it, because you realize you're not the only one.
Exactly.
That's very true.
And the second thing that I would say is, again, to use your challenge to create change or inspire change. And that will give you the sense of, okay, my challenge is for a greater purpose. It's not just to punish me, per se, or it's not just to make life difficult for me. I have been given this challenge as a catalyst to inspire change for somebody else, because the world is not just about me.
Mm. So the focus off of ourselves, which is hard. I mean, the world doesn't teach us that. They tell us, oh, you deserve. You've earned it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. You know, even with, and I say this all the time, I love it that when we would go to the Special Olympics, those kids, they would award first, second, third place. And all these kids knew, hey, I didn't get first place, but I did my best, and that's all that counts, and that's awesome.
Right. It wasn't an I deserve moment, for sure. They work hard.
Yeah.
So I love that you decided to homeschool the girls, and I'm sure you have many reasons for that. But let me just ask, so if you're dealing with a special needs mom, or you're talking to a special needs mom who's just figured out that there might be some needs of her child that she's going to have to deal with, what advice would you give them?
Well, first off is to be an advocate. Many times, you know your child better than that doctor does. And while the doctor mm-hmm. is educated and knows the standard situations that happen through various symptoms and diagnoses, you know your child, and the doctor is having to go off of past experiences and book experiences, and new things come up. To give you an example, with Sienna's dandy walker, her neurologist at Texas Children's admittedly had never treated anyone with dandy walker because it's pretty rare.
Right.
It's especially not dealt with one who was someone with dandy walker and primordial dwarfism and all the other complications. So it's on the parent to be an aggressive advocate for their child and to just pay attention, you know, journal, write things down so that you can go back and go, oh, okay, this is something new. This is last time this situation happened. This is how the child responded, and this is a new one. I better talk to the doctor, or, you know, so you have to be an advocate. You have to do as much research as you can. And I say that with caution. Don't
right.
do your research. And, you know, because when you Google, if you've stubbed your toe, you know, WebMD is going to tell you you're going to die, you know. So take your research and use it just as simply research, not to allow you to get yourself down. Because, you know, if I were to Google people with dandy walker, many of them don't live very long. Many people with primordial dwarfism don't live very long. So I have to not focus on that part of it and just focus on the
right.
research part that's going to get us from day to day.
What do they do to get through that? You're right. And for me, when I was dealing with a lot of these issues, having that notebook of all the past tests, it used to irritate my doctors, because I was like, I need a copy of this test, I need all the tests you've done, I need copies of those, and I need your report. And I would print them all out, put them in the notebook, because the next doctor I went to see, who thought he didn't need to know anything of what the other one had figured out, right? I'd be like,
no,
look at this, look right here, right? If I was to give advice, I would say definitely journal. That journaling is so key. And it's interesting you say Google, because when my youngest was super little, she was probably 12 weeks. She had an issue where she wasn't absorbing the food correctly or wasn't processing the food correctly. And so the doctor put her on this medication and I couldn't figure it out. It was a medication she had to take every 4 hours. Every 2 hours, start to scream just like she had before with the meds, before the meds.
Mm.
And so, you know, I'm Googling and I'm talking, I think it was a Yahoo chat group or something. And one of the gals said, I had to divide the dose in half and give it to her every 2 hours. I was like, what? Okay, I'm going to call the doctor. She's like, I've never dealt with this, so I guess you can try it. And we did, and that was what saved us. I mean, literally, like, you knew when two hours was up, she needed her meds, and we did that for a number of months. But if it hadn't been for that one mom to share. So, again, you're talking about the network, right?
Exactly.
I wouldn't have functioned for another couple of months, I'm sure.
Right. You would have been going crazy.
Oh, my word. I was already going crazy, so I didn't need any help. It was a fun time for sure, but I just remember that was true. So we not only had to join, and at that point, my youngest was not old enough that we were even at the point where I was like, oh, I need to keep records, right?
Yes.
For some reason, you just don't even... You know that you're going to have issues, but you haven't quite figured out what's important to write down. So you don't write anything down.
Right.
And
right.
And so what would happen is I'd wind up at the doctor's and they'd be like, well, did they test for this?
I don't know. Yeah.
So definitely I agree. Definitely journaling that and focusing on not on the repercussions, but on the positive things that you find, right? So,
right.
Not on the stress, but on the positive side.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I'm just thinking to myself, like, those are the things that really made a huge difference for me. And they still do, because I walked into that doctor's office a couple weeks ago and I didn't have a ton of notes. Just because we've moved so many times, and it bit me again. So, turn on notes. Okay. So let's see, Chris. So now your girls have graduated. Are they on to college? They're figuring out what life looks like after high school.
Well, we have had the girls have had a very unusual upbringing, which I think one of the things that we've been able to learn from them being so unique, and I guess I'll explain that further, because it's a very rare scenario where you have identical twins where one is a primordial dwarf. Technically, I believe there's maybe three now in the world. When the girls were on 2020, they were the only known set, and I think since then they have discovered one, possibly a set of girls, and then I believe there is a set of young boys.
Wow.
But it's a very rare situation, and so, you know, the girls have grown up, for the most part, on TV, which has made it interesting, but if you are, again, being very cognizant of your journey and trying to analyze kind of what pieces are doing for your bigger, you know, puzzle, then you can see how everything is shaping, and that allows you to handle things a little bit differently. And so for me, I'm able to see that all of that really has played a giant piece in what I didn't even realize I wanted to do for a living that I now love being able to do. So, you know, I'm able to still have a career and homeschool. I was able to homeschool the girls which thankfully now there are a lot of online resources that help
right.
with that, and you don't have to make up all the curriculum yourself. So, you know, that's one of the questions I get from moms who are looking at homeschooling. No,
right.
I don't know trigonometry, but thankfully somebody else does and can do that.
Exactly. I totally
so,
agree. I know,
you know
that pain very well.
With Sienna, you know, we don't know what the future holds. So what we do is we are focusing on what she can do, and we are just pushing as if we are planning on her going to college and having a degree and going and having a career of some sort. But we are very aware that she does indeed have limitations. So we are just going to push the envelope as much as we can and see kind of what sticks. And she is very much aware that she may not get everything she wants because limitations might prevent that, but we will shift our focus and figure out ways that we can make whatever sticks be amazing, if that makes sense.
Right. So what is that saying? Shoot for the moon and land on the sun, or shoot for the sun and it's shoot for the sun
and
land on the moon, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Whatever
so, you know, for her, like with her hearing loss, she has learned, she began sign language as her foreign language credit years ago, and now she communicates quite well with it and is thinking perhaps she wants to do something with children in ASL. So, you know, who knows?
Awesome.
It could be a very good thing for her and be a very, quote-unquote, normal career. I do believe that she will probably live with us for the rest of her life, but that's okay. We're okay with that.
Right.
And then if God happens to have a different plan, then we're okay with that too.
Right. Rolling with the punches, so to speak.
Exactly. And with Sierra, she chose to be homeschooled, because, and I had never mentioned the twins' name. I named them Sierra and Sienna. I look back sometimes. I'm like, oh, my gosh, they were so similar. What was I thinking? But Sierra is a professional country artist, and so we have definitely not had the normal situation with that. So she is going on tour soon, releasing, you know, music soon. She songwrites. We've met some amazing people through her career. She plays, you know, these giant festivals and whatnot. So it's definitely been interesting to see that how that has all shaped up. And, you know, I know that I think you and I had gone over some stuff before the show, and one of the things you had asked was with how much attention Sienna required at the very beginning,
yeah.
how we kind of dealt with that. And
yep.
that definitely was a challenge, because Sienna required feeding every hour and a half through her tube. She required her breathing treatments. You know, she required a lot. And life for the first probably 11 years focused around Sienna. And
mm-hmm.
we really tried to find purposeful times where Sierra could have that time to shine. And we would really be purposeful about allowing her opportunities to feel like she wasn't being overshadowed by the other twin. And I think that actually has given her a sense of independence, and she's a very, very empowered 18-year-old woman. And most people who work with her and meet her realize right off the bat that she is not your standard teenage girl.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
She's definitely a businesswoman.
And she had to learn to do some things, obviously, on her own, or at least, you know, decide what she wanted to do on her own. And I look at,
exactly.
so my oldest, she was the one who knew my son's language. She knew what he wanted, when he wanted it, and how he wanted it, because she was right there with him, right? But
oh, I love it, yes.
It was a focus on him, but she was like, hey, he wants to eat, right? Or whatever the case may be. And so she was the flag waver, and I see her now doing that as well as an older, young adult, a young adult now. But I did notice I had to be aware, and so I mean I think you're right. We focus so much on the special needs that sometimes we're not aware, and we don't go, oh right, I have another child. I mean,
right?
It's not a very
you have to be very mindful.
Do for sure. And I did want to talk about it, so I'm glad you brought that up. And it's definitely something I think we we all kind of go, well, they're not screaming. And even now, it's funny. So I had my two very close together, 20 months apart, and Timothy pretty much ruled the roost. He was the youngest at the time. And then I had my third child nine years later. And it was funny because as soon as she was the focus of the attention because she had lots of issues when she was young, then we really focused on who was screaming the loudest at the time. And all of a sudden you were like, oh, wait, I have to focus on all of them, you know, so. But it took me
exactly
acknowledging that to be able to even remotely do that. So, okay, so we're running out of time. And it looks like, actually, I just lost Christy. So if you want to talk to Christy, if you want to find out more about her, check out her website, ChristyBernal.com. And with that, Christy is back. Let me just get her on here. So, Christy, real quick, we have just a few more minutes. Do you want to share real quick how people can connect with you?
Sure. My website is pretty easy. It's just my first and last name.com. So it's C-H-R-I-S-S-Y, B as in boy, E-R, N as in Nancy, A-L.com. And, you know, if they forget that, then they can just Google because it's pretty easy. Sierra, if you Google Sierra and Sienna, they inevitably our information comes up.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So much easier.
There's no hiding for us. We're out there now.
I totally understand.
We were in the Dominican Republic a few years ago and somebody recognized the girls and that was kind of weird.
No getting away.
Nope. But you know what? God gave us that platform to make some changes and in the world and you know, hopefully we're doing what he wants.
Well, and that's exactly how I feel. And so I hope that those who have listened to the show, whether live or on the recording, found it valuable to hear real life stories from real life moms and put some real action or real things that they can do to put those into action, function and survive, not just survive, thrive, right? So,
right, exactly.
Thank you, Christy, for being on the show. I greatly appreciate it. I'm so glad you were able to join me. That post where I was just like, send me somebody to talk on the show was a great one. God just opened that door. I should mention, I think I have about 10 other special needs moms who have stories to share to encourage other special needs moms. So I'm going to work something out so we can get that out there.
Awesome.
So to all my listeners out there, whether you're listening live or catching a replay, I really do hope that you enjoyed the show. If you haven't seen it yet or you haven't checked it out, we have a group on Facebook. It's called Change Hackers, and it's where I'm updating people on all the show updates, who our next guests will be, when our next show is live, and all of those things. And so I appreciate all of you. I look forward to getting to know you more via Facebook and other ways. So thanks for tuning in. This is Melissa Ruth, Change Hacker and Consultant, signing off. See you next time.
Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.